Hebrews chapter 12. Praise the Lord. As you're standing, just join me in the word. Thank you, musicians. Praise the Lord. Good to see Ezekiel here and his girl Indiana? Still out there in Indiana. Good to see them. Always good to have them come in. Praise the Lord. And also, we've had this week with us Brother Grant and Brother Will. Brother Will's from Oklahoma, and Brother Grant's from Georgia. I don't know, Brother Grant. It's kind of disappointed me. He didn't bring any sunshine up, and so we're going to give him another chance. I have a feeling he'll be back. But I'm telling you, he did a wonderful job preaching Wednesday night. I tell you, I've been feasting on that. He preached a message Wednesday night called The Good News is Good Enough. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that? Amen. And so, wow, we're just glad to have them in service with us today. Praise the Lord. So come with us to a couple different passages that I feel directed to this morning. I want to share with you from Hebrews 12 in verse 1 is the first passage I want to share with you. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. If you're there, say amen. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, let's go to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. And let's turn our attention to 13 through 15. Matthew 2, 13 through 15. Text is also provided on the screen. It reads, "And when they were departed," now I'm dropping in the context here, when it says they were talking about the wise men. Okay, this is immediately after their visit. "And when they," the wise men, "were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt." Everybody say, it's emergency. That's what it was. It was an emergency. "And be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son." Father, all around us, there are competing voices. They're clamoring for our attention, and we are so easily misled by them. Help us to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking in the Scriptures today, showing us Christ and leading us to Him. And may that voice fill our ears and captivate our hearts and drown out every other voice, that we might know You, to praise You for Your great name. In Christ's name we pray, and for His sake. All God's children shout amen. 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 God bless you. You can be seated. I want to share with you for a few moments on the simple topic, baggage check. Baggage check. Some things to leave behind in 2017. Allow me to begin by asking simple question this morning. If you knew your home was going to be destroyed by flood or by flame. And you only had 1 minute, 60 seconds, to escape with your life and one or two other things. What would you choose to leave behind? Can you imagine someone trying to take out their whole library? Maybe 500 books. Maybe imagine someone trying to take out their computer or their big screen. Or some of you ladies, your shoe collection. Oh, come on now. Knowing that you just had 60 seconds to get out. What if you had a baby grand piano? Huh? Would you try to get it out? Oh, that's ridiculous. The fact is, if we tried to get some things out and take them with us, we would perish in the disaster, right? And that causes this bold truth to surface, which is sometimes for our own health and safety, we must be willing to leave some things behind. The truth is, there is freedom in being able to walk away from some things in our lives. And here in our gospel text, Matthew, we find that Mary and Joseph had probably been married maybe now for about 2 years, maybe 1 or 2 years. Joseph, he's busy working as a contractor. He and his wife Mary had not gone back to Nazareth after the census. It looks like instead they stayed in Bethlehem. Bethlehem gave them a fresh start in their married life without the rumors of them having a child out of wedlock. They left behind the gossip floating around back in Nazareth. No one in Bethlehem is saying, huh, you know, there's Mary, the girl who's done lost her mind, claiming that the Holy Spirit's the one that got her pregnant. In Bethlehem, life was beginning to look a little more normal for them. But then it happened. Out of nowhere, some wise men show up on their doorstep looking for the promised child, Jesus. Not only that, these wise men presented them with some very expensive gifts. Say it with me: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It was as if someone had made a huge direct deposit into Mary and Joseph's checking account. Because these were very expensive gifts. So they were delighted and thrilled at this visit, and it was just a huge financial blessing. This may have been just what Joseph needed to get his construction business into high gear. Maybe, who knows what plans Mary may have had for this, these finances for them as a family. But yet, before their plans could materialize, the Bible says an angel appeared to Joseph and said, Joseph, you need to get up. You need to take your family into Egypt, because King Herod is searching for the child to kill him. And you have got to stay in Egypt until I bring you word that it's okay to come back home. And so now Joseph and Mary are having to decide on the spot, what are they going to leave behind? If they cannot carry it in their hands or on their donkey, perhaps, guess what? It's got to stay. They've got a 75-mile journey to take in the middle of the night, and God only knows if the soldiers of Herod is already on their way. I wonder when it was that they realized that the gifts they received from the wise men were the provisions God had made for them to escape the disaster. God's timing is always perfect. So they undoubtedly took the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh and said goodbye to a house full of other things. And they fled for their lives into Egypt. All of their plans, their dreams, their business, their friends, their family had to be left behind out of obedience to the word of the Lord from the angel. Had they delayed their obedience, they would have been looking at a soldier's sword entering the body of their son and taking his life. Folks, we may not always realize it, but there's a flip side to following Christ. And the flip side is leaving some things behind. We cannot follow Christ without leaving some things behind. What we often fail to realize is that there is freedom. Somebody say freedom. There is freedom in leaving things behind. Okay, so hold on to that story. Second story I want to share with you this morning is found in Exodus chapter 12, 1 and 2. Aaron, in the land of Egypt, says, actually this is God speaking to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, okay? This is pre-Exodus. And God says, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. In other words, this is going to be your January. It shall be the first month of the year to you. I'm reading from Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. So right here in this verse, God is about to deliver the Israelites from 430 years of Egyptian bondage. And this is the eve, everybody say eve, eve of their departure from their long enslavement. This is the eve of the Exodus. And on this night, God through Moses is instituting a new year, a new era. He is instituting a new sacred calendar so that Israel continues to be a part of his plan for the ages. Okay, so this is a new beginning for Israel right here. A fresh new start as a free, redeemed people. They are on the threshold of stepping into a brand new destiny. With God orchestrating this movement with a great demonstration of his power. And the thing that got my attention this week is from Psalm 105:37, which records a certain fact about their exit. It says this, he, that's God, brought them forth also with silver and gold. And notice this, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Question, what happened to the sick and the ailing Israelites? God healed them and strengthened them right before they left Egypt on the eve of the new year. God basically conducted a healing crusade on New Year's Eve in Egypt. Boy, don't we need that? Huh? They may have been sick while in Egypt, and they may have been broken and oppressed while they were down there, but when they crossed the borders from Egypt en route to the promised land, they left their sickness behind them. They left their weakness back there. They left their bad memories back there. They left their poor me attitude back there. They did not leave Egypt sick, oppressed, or depressed. They left all of that behind them. And there was not even one weak or sick among their tribes, Scripture says. Can I tell you what I was thinking just this week? I'd like to step over into the new year and leave some things behind me. Oh, help me preach. How about you? How about you? Raise your hand and wave it at me if you feel that. God is getting ready in just a few hours, church, to bring us into a new year, into a new destiny. And today is the day of our exodus. And I'd like to see him bring us out of 2017 as he did Israel, which it says he brought them out with a mighty hand. Hallelujah. We can leave our sorrows behind. We can leave some sadness and discouragement behind. He is ready to bring us out with great strength and with great power. Why? Because God is here and he is with us now. That's what Emmanuel means. Somebody say, thank you, Lord, for Jesus. Praise God. How y'all doing? The scripture said that he brought them out basically problem free because while they were in Egypt, they were oppressed. Amen. While in Egypt, they were in bondage. While in Egypt, they were sick and afflicted. While in Egypt, they had some hard taskmasters. But God's word said that he brought them out with a mighty hand. I like another verse that says he brought them out on eagle's wings. Oh, what a beautiful picture. However, he brought them out. They came out leaving their physical and emotional issues behind them. Pharaoh could no longer restrain them. The power of Egypt could no longer hold them captive. May I remind you this morning that God can bring us out of 2017 with a miracle of deliverance too. Huh? I said he can bring us out of 2017 with a miracle of deliverance. Whatever has plagued us in this old year does not have to follow us into the new year. When they were on the threshold of their exodus and the threshold of their new year, Jehovah Rapha showed up and healed all of them. And there was not a feeble or sick, afflicted person among them. I'm telling you, church, that is an awesome God-sized miracle. What do you say, Pastor? I'm saying that there was an estimated 3 million people. And not to have one of those 3 million sick, that is a miracle. Even the old patriarchs, the matriarchs among them, the Bible says they came out healthy. And even the middle-aged and the young infants didn't come out weak or sick. The God of abundance and healing showed up and healed them right before they crossed the threshold over into their new year of deliverance. They left all the misfortunes behind in Egypt. They came out burden-free. They came out worry-free. They came out debt-free. Let me remind you, this year is not over yet. We still have time this morning for God to deliver us before we step over into the new year, leaving behind some of the issues and the problems of our past. Wouldn't it be refreshing to leave this year's problems in this year? Huh? Tell somebody, I'm not carrying my mess over into the new year. Now, some of you want to. You're in your mess and you're feeling like a victim and you like the pity party. Hello? Come on, somebody tell your neighbor, I'm not carrying this mess over. I'm not carrying it. No way. Huh? You may carry your mess over, but I choose to leave my mess behind. I said, I'm putting the past behind me. I refuse to carry the sickness over. I refuse to carry the sorrow or the depression over. I refuse to carry a bad marriage over. I refuse to carry the dysfunction in my family over. I'm going to believe God because this year is not over yet, and I'm going to ask God to enable me to leave this mess behind. Question, if God brought them out, can't you believe he's going to bring us out as well? I said, won't you, Lord, bring us out too? Oh, I'm feeling good. Are y'all awake? If he performed that deliverance, now get this, under the old covenant, just think what he could do under the new covenant. Now please understand that when this happened, the Mosaic covenant was not even activated yet. But there was a man by the name of Abraham who God made some precious promises to. And it was under those promises that Israel came out of Egypt. Their exodus was actually under the Abrahamic covenant. The Mosaic had not been given yet. So their deliverance did not have anything to do with all the power and the demonstration of the Mosaic covenant. And you say, what do you mean? I'm talking about the Mosaic covenant. Man, the peaks of Mount Sinai was smoking. Huh? There was thundering and lightning. Those things made divine impressions. But listen, it was the faithfulness of God to one man, Abraham, who promised never to fail them and to bring them out of any bondage that they would find themselves in. So God kept his promise and brought them out. They came out of the bondage and enslavement. Hey, get this. Now, I know you're going to fall off the wagon on me and label me as prosperity preacher. But it says they came out with silver. Oh, get a grip on that. Came out with gold. They came out with no disease. They came out with no oppression. Oh, you're just a little too quiet in here for the end of the year. They came out with no sorrow. Rather, they came out rejoicing. Anybody want to come out of 2017 with some rejoicing? Oh, there's about five of us in here that do. I said they came out with rejoicing. They came out with blessings unlimited. They came out with goodness and mercy, David would say, following them all the way. They came out with purpose tied to goodness and destiny tied to mercy. Friend, because, hey, allow God to deliver you before you move into the new year. I don't know about you, but I want to step over into a new beginning, having left some old things behind me. John said in the book of Revelation, he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new.
Praise God.
A new beginning. A new beginning of healing. A new beginning of holiness. A new beginning of praise and worship. I don't know about you, but my hope is in the Lord, who specializes in enabling us to leave some things behind us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. One more illustration, a couple observations, and I'll close. After the Exodus, Scripture says in the process of time, We find that Joshua replaces Moses as the new leader. And Joshua now leads the nation of Israel across the Jordan River into a land of promise. And recall with me that the very first city on the attack list was Jericho. Jericho was a large walled city, the Bible says. It seemed invincible. It was invincible to regular human attack. But friends, remember, Israel was not fighting as a regular human army. They were depending upon a supernatural intervention. Oh, praise God. And God told the people before the attack, said, this entire city is cursed. God told them, everything in it must be destroyed, except the gold, the silver, that is to go into the Lord's treasury. Remember that? Specifically, God told them, no one is to take anything for themselves. So Joshua's instructions on taking this city were simple. March around the city with the armed men once for 6 days. On the seventh day, march around it seven times. And when you hear the priests blow the trumpets on that seven time around, have all the people give a shout and the walls will come down. These people had to leave behind some doubt and some fear in order to believe that this strategy would cause these massive walls of Jericho to fall. But they did what God told them to do in the way that God told them to do it, and the massive walls of Jericho sunk down into the ground. I've been there, stood on the site. It's amazing. Israel's army marched into the city. Then they overthrew it, but there was one soldier by the name of Achan. How many remembers Achan? Achan goes into Jericho, no doubt intending to do what God had told him to do, but then I imagine he got distracted. Have you ever planned on being obedient to God? But then you became distracted. Distracted by something or someone around you. And you say, well, I'm just going to take a minute or two and check this out. But the minute or two begins to last far longer than you thought it would. All Achan had to do was walk away. Leave behind the things in Jericho. But how many know that's not what he did? The Bible says he took a beautiful designer robe from Babylon. He took 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of fine gold weighing 50 shekels. And he took and he hid them in the ground underneath his family's tent. How many know he had hid his sin from everyone except the Lord? And Scripture states that he acted in disobedience, unfaithfully, to the point that it says God's anger burned against Israel. When you got God's anger burning against you, you've done something wrong. And a little newsflash here. Whenever we make a compromise with sin, there's always a price to be paid. It's like we put ourselves at the mercy of others. And God's people had just defeated the city of Jericho, which was the most powerful city in the area. Now the next city was a tiny little town by the name of Ai, which was not known for its strength. And so the commanding officers come to Joshua and they say, don't bother to send the whole army to fight against Ai. We can take care of them. We'll wipe them out just with a fraction of our army. Maybe, Joshua, if you can commission 3,000 men. So Joshua says, okay, and he sends them away. And when they arrive at the city of Ai, these 3,000-man army gets the whipping of their lives from this tiny little town. All of Israel sees that and becomes afraid. They could not believe they lost a battle to such a small city. It was an amazing upset. The people, the Bible says, began to cry out to God. They had a prayer meeting that lasted all night long. And as Joshua is laying on his face before the Lord, God tells him, you've lost, speaking as a nation, you've lost because you disobeyed me. You didn't leave some of the stuff behind, this is my paraphrase, that I told you to. So I'm not going to be with you as long as you have those things that you should have left behind. As long as they're in your possession, I'm not going to be with you. I'm not going to go with you. If you want my presence, Joshua, then you've got to get rid of the stuff that I told you to leave behind. The Bible says Joshua rose the next morning and he broadcast this among the people, what the Lord had told him. And then through God's guidance, Achan's sin was revealed and found out. And he faced the death sentence and the destruction of all that he had, if only he had left that stuff behind. Right? And so here's the application. This is our final Sunday of the year 2017. For some of us, it's been a great year. We found ourselves blessed more than we were this time last year. There were graduates. There were the birth of children. Better jobs. Maybe a new home purchased. A new car purchased. But how many could agree that none of us made it through the year unscathed by circumstances? Is this keeping it real? For some, it has been a year of sorrow. For some, it's been a year of pain. We lost people that were very dear to us. For some, unfortunately, they began to see their families fall apart. Some found themselves trapped by sin, paying a cost far greater than they had imagined it would be. Some ran into situations in which they were greatly hurt by someone, and they found it nearly impossible to forgive. Some thought they could do something just once and walk away from it, only to be enslaved. And still to this day, you won't admit your addiction. I'm talking to somebody here. Some lost jobs. Some may still be unemployed. Some in the year of 2017 developed attitudes which have hurt yourself and hurt others. Some don't like the person that you've allowed yourself to become in 2017. But I want to remind you this morning, behind all the bad, behind all the unfortunate circumstances, Christ is looking at you this morning. And with your broken dreams and your shattered life, He's whispering to you, come to me and rest. But in order for us to go to Him and rest, we're going to have to leave all that other stuff behind us. Huh? Why do we need to come to Jesus? Because we can't do this thing called life by ourselves. If we can't do this thing called life by ourselves, we sure can't do the thing called death by ourselves. We've got to have Jesus. Sure, we can make plans, but we can't make things happen. Positive thinking does not stop the calamities and the tragedies from coming our way. We are going to need an anchor for our souls. When a storm hits, you're going to need an anchor. And Christ came in order to be that anchor. I said Christ came in order to be that anchor and to give you and me what is called abundant life. That is life now, and that is life when we die. He is calling us to a life of freedom in 2018 if we will determine not to remain a slave to our past. Raise your hands and praise Him, church. Oh, somebody get happy about Jesus right here. You don't have to take your baggage and drag it into the new year. Woo! As 2017 is coming to a close, as the musicians come, what do you need to leave behind? What do you need to leave behind? Huh? Let me talk to our young people for just a moment. Maybe it's a boyfriend, huh, that does not share your commitment of faith to Christ. You better leave him behind. Listen to your pastor. It may be a girlfriend that does not share your commitment to Christ, that does not prioritize the house of God. Oh, you came this morning thinking you was going to get a bunch of fluff, and I'm going for some T-bone steak. Huh? Listen, maybe it's a group of friends that you need to leave behind in 2017. Maybe it's an attitude problem. Maybe it's a critical spirit. Maybe it's an anger problem. Maybe it's a jealousy problem. You better leave it behind. If there's a spirit of selfishness, maybe a spirit of greed, maybe a spirit of materialism, leave it behind. If you're traveling down a road of addiction, that you need to leave it behind. We may think these things are helping us in our life, but they are weighing us down. So put aside, cast aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset you. Raise your hands and praise Him and say, God, help me leave it behind me. Leave it behind me. Oh, I feel the power of God. I want you to stand together. I feel the power of God. If God sent an angel to you this morning, like He did to Joseph, and said, get rid of that thing, because it is seeking to kill you. Huh? Run for your spiritual life. Hello, while I preach, help me just a couple more minutes here while I feel the power of God. What is that thing that the angel would be talking about? Joseph did not wait and put off getting out of that situation. No, he saw it as an emergency. And I trust you won't put it off any longer. Let it end in 2017. End that love affair with sin. in 2017. End the addiction. End the attitude problem. End the immoral relationship. End the spirit of just not caring. End that abuse. Don't be like Achan, talking yourself into it. While you're entitled to it. Listen, I want you to know the devil will tell you, oh, everybody's doing it. No, no, no. Everybody is not doing it. No matter how clever we think we are, we cannot hide our actions from God. And God will expose us if we're not willing to change. True freedom is found in saying yes. I say yes, Lord. I say yes, Lord. I can go into 2018 with a clean, pure conscience. Oh, hallelujah. You can be a better mother. You can be a better father. You can be a better son. You can be a better daughter. Hello. You can be a better student. You can be a better worker. You can be a better member of your church. Why? Because God is saying, leave all your past behind you. It's time for a baggage check. What is it you need to leave behind? What is it you need to leave behind? Father, here this morning, you're examining our hearts and you are in this service. I feel you all across the front. I trust those all the way in the back as they sit there texting on their phones. I pray you will minister to them. I pray that you will minister, Lord, a wake-up call in Jesus' name. By the power of the Holy Ghost, let them determine this service is the time they're going to leave some things behind. In Jesus' name I pray, all God's people shout amen. God bless you. Would you step out of your seat and say, Pastor, I'm going to leave some things behind. What is it in your bag? The difference between a bag and baggage is the weight. I said the difference between a bag and baggage is the weight of the load. Maybe a little bag won't slow you down, but baggage will. Woo, hallelujah. Listen, this year I choose to travel light. That's what you can pray. Lord, this year I choose to leave some things behind. Oh, that's it. They're coming. They're coming. They're coming. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to do a work in these altars right here this morning. I feel your presence, Lord. I feel your presence, Lord. You're going to do something this New Year's Eve. Yes, you are, Jesus. Yes, you are, Jesus. We're going to say goodbye to some baggage. We're going to say goodbye to some baggage. Woo! We've danced our last dance, and we're showing that baggage to the door. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
If you've got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you've got chains, he's a chain breaker. If you've got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you've got chains, he's a chain breaker. If you've got pain, he's a pain taker. You feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, He's a chain breaker. As for me and my house, as for me and my house, as for me and my house, we're gonna be free. As for me and my house, as for me and my house, as for me and my house, we're gonna be free. As for me and my house.